G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show. G'day, welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, and this is episode 222, brought to you by our Patreon members community. And a big shout out to all you members of the Patreon community this week. Thank you for joining. Thank you for supporting us and believing in what we do in the intermittent fasting community and helping us to bring these podcasts to you each and every week. If you are sitting there and you're listening to the podcast each and every week, no matter what stage of the journey you're on, I'd really appreciate it if you would consider joining the Patreon community. And look, it's been fantastic. I really love the Zoom meetings that we have each month, both in the North and Southern Hemispheres, accountability meetings where people come in and troubleshoot issues and give each other support. And to see the strides that people are making and the progress has just been absolutely fantastic. But there's a lot of other content too in the Patreon community. There's audio series, extra bonus podcasts, discussion topics, and motivational pieces each week to help you stay on track. So give us some thought, but you'll find the link there in the show notes at www.patreon.com/thefastinghighway. Okay, folks, let's get on today's podcast. Delighted to be talking today to April Pinto. And April lives in Lake Dallas, Texas with her husband and a college freshman son. And she describes herself as a proud parent to adorable pet chickens and precious chihuahuas. And April is a renowned wedding photographer, so you can imagine being immersed in fun and food all the time could be tricky for a faster, as you'll hear April talk about in this podcast. But when I think about April, I always think about the expression, the experiment of one. To give her a count is April Pinto. Oh, g'day, April, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. And how are you going?
Wonderfully. I'm sitting in my garden with my chickens. Sunset here.
Yeah, it looks amazing. Absolutely beautiful spring day there in Texas. But April, a lot of people around the world may know of you, but a lot of people don't as well. And if you wouldn't mind just sharing a bit of your backstory and how you sort of found your way to intermittent fasting in the first place.
Absolutely, Graham. I have had a substantial food addiction and a problem with controlling my eating for most of my adult life. Sometimes that has looked very healthy. I tend to be obsessive compulsive about most things in my life, and that makes me very successful in my career and in my home life. And it has been great at times in my life. I've been obsessively healthy and lived a very strict, regimented nutritional life, but then at times it's gone completely the other direction. So I'm kind of like one of those unruly kids that does better in an institute or some sort of boys' home because I need really strict regulation in order to succeed. So I never really struggled with my weight. In my 20s, I was healthy. I was fit. I thought I was fine. My doctors thought I was fine. And then when I got married, when I was 30, I guess, you know, it was just very happy. We're very happily married and we started a life together. And I started putting all of my energy into my career. And I went from a very healthy weight to morbidly obese in about a slow 10-year period. And honestly, I was the last one to know it. My doctor pointed it out to me. I had no idea I had become morbidly obese. So I tried, of course, I was always plant-based ever since I was about about 11. And I had been vegan most of my adult life. And so I had tried all of the plant-based lifestyles. 80, 10, 10 was really important to me. I don't know if you've ever read that book. It's from the China study concept. Basically, living a very high fat, all mostly raw diet. I did that for years, and people thought I was crazy because that they thought that was so extreme. But to me, it felt really good. And then I would just fail epically and go the other direction. I've done juicing for years off and on, and again, people thought I was absolutely insane for doing that. And we would go to the organic markets. We would juice our own juice. It was very healthy. We were not juicing, oranges. We were juicing, kale and things like that. And then from there, I tried keto. A plant-based keto is really hard, as I'm sure you can imagine. And that's how I found OMAD. Accidentally stumbled into OMAD. When I was doing keto, I realized my husband actually pointed out to me, he said, you're only eating once a day, I've noticed. And so I started Googling like one meal a day, eating one meal a day, and I found this community. And I had lost, not you guys yet, but like the fasting community. And I had lost a substantial amount of weight. I think I lost about 60 pounds on keto, one meal a day, before I knew about you and Jen and everyone here. And then COVID, of course, happened, as I hear you talk about COVID on the podcast all the time. And I just kind of regained all of my weight back plus some. And I had gotten diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And I was just really felt like I was dying. I just felt weak and I felt out of breath and I felt so inflamed and I had a myriad of just illnesses and things wrong with me. I was so miserable. And so I just had to do something. So I asked myself, what was it that has resonated with me that I think I could do again, that I could commit to? And I thought of OMAD again. And so I found Jen and then you and this community. And I just celebrated my 19th month of intermittent fasting.
Wow, fantastic, April. So just tell us about intermittent fasting when you first heard of it and you started picking it up. What was it that appealed to you in comparison to all these other things that you've tried?
Well, when I did juicing, it was so restrictive. When I did keto, it was so restrictive. And when I did OMAD or even just any form of intermittent fasting, I realized I experienced the appetite correction naturally. I didn't have to force it. My friends would say, "Oh, how come you only want Brussels sprouts and, tofu? And we're sitting here eating like fried chicken nuggets or whatever." And it wasn't because I was telling myself I wanted that. The appetite correction did it for me. It was like, it's almost like it's all inclusive. When you fast, you naturally start to desire better and healthier and more nutritiously dense things. And so that was the thing I thought once I started doing it. I can do this forever. I really feel I'm confident I can do this for the rest of my life happily.
Juicing is something I tried too, April. And there's an Australian guy called Joe Cross, who I know is a good mate. And he went across America with his juicer in the back of his car. And I thought, oh, wow, that's great, Joe. I'm going to give this a crack, you know. And, but man, I found it so messy, April. I couldn't, it was going up the walls. It was everywhere. I was driving my wife insane and I wasn't cleaning it properly. And it was just a nightmare. And, you have to go out and source all the stuff. And, so. I thought, man, there's got to be something more simple than that. So, April, tell us about you came to fasting. Let's talk about your protocol for a minute. And also, how did you get going with your protocol? How did you choose that? And did you know about the clean fast at that stage when you first came into it?
No, when I had stumbled upon or incidentally began doing OMAD when I was back in my keto days, I was doing bulletproof coffees, kind of Jason Fung's style, bulletproof coffees, protein shakes, lots of electrolyte, sugar-free electrolyte drinks. And so when I found you guys and heard about the Clean Fast, I thought, well, let me give this a try because it's obviously a whole different ball game. And I noticed within about a month that I didn't have hunger cravings. I didn't have hunger, period. I didn't crave food. I didn't want anything. I didn't want junk food when I was fasting. So I started to really believe in the power of the clean fast. And it actually, I feel like it was easier clean fasting than when I didn't clean. And I never did this version of, I never did clean fasting without doing clean. I never did. Once I started doing intermittent fasting, I immediately began doing it as a clean faster.
Yeah, big difference, isn't it? I've had so many people say they went from what we call dirty fasting, what you were talking about there, the bulletproof coffee and putting all sorts of things in their drinks and chewing mints and all the rest of it. And then you move to that clean fast, and people report there's so much of a difference that they don't find their fasting hard and that sort of thing. But what was your protocol when you first started, April, and how did you get to that?
I am an all-in person. Like I said, I'm very obsessive compulsive about everything I do 110% immediately. And so I went straight into your protocol 23-1, and I started immediately with the three core. I really kind of copycatted the three course meal idea. Well, no, that's not true. The first thing I was exploring, so I became a three course kind of meal person, like restaurant style meal person. But initially, I had done 23-1, and I was so meticulous about it. I would have all of my drinks, all of my food, everything in front of me. I would open my window, stop my. I use the Life fasting app. It's my favorite thing in the world. And I would stop it, start my eating window, and I was so meticulous about it. And I literally did exactly 23-1 for, I think, gosh, several months, maybe 14 months before I started trying different protocols. But I was so strict with exactly 23-1 just because I wanted so badly to lose so much weight. And I was dropping weight so quickly doing that.
With the protocol, April, I know people. Well, we'll peel it right back here and we'll talk about the stats first and foremost because people like to know that. So, just sort of give us a bit of an idea what your sort of high weight was, when exactly you started sort of intermittent fasting, and where you are now, some 19 months later.
Sure. This year has been a struggle for me. I am 5'3". I weighed 280 when I began. I got down to my lowest in the last 19 months was 222, which was December 31st. And I was thrilled. I thought for sure I would hit 200 by spring. However, I made a huge mistake, and I want to warn everyone listening not to do what I did. They say you hit plateaus, and I did. I was in a plateau for months on the scale. But looking back at pictures and thinking about how I was feeling the very end of last year, I felt amazing. I was losing more and more. My clothes were fitting better and better, even though the scale was not moving. So that's very true. But I started just, looking at my neighbor's pasture and feeling like the grass was going to be greener if I tried ADF or if I tried, 3612 or just different protocols. So I did start doing that. And I went from 222, December 31st. Today is April something, April 5th. I have gained 20 pounds doing the different versions of ADF. So I went back to OMAD recently. And I'm happy, but it's even though I went from OMAD to ADF, which was more fasting, when I went back to OMAD, going into ADF sent me as a previous food addict and binger. It brought back all of my binging habits. It made me just not, I didn't know how to stop. Because when you go from eating OMAD, you're eating these huge, beautiful three-course restaurant style meals within 1 or 2 hours or what have you. If you stop doing that and start doing ADF and you're eating over a course of 12 hours, all of a sudden a small bowl of soup isn't enough. You still want those giant meals. So it was really, I mean, it was really mentally a struggle. This past 3 months has been such a mental struggle for me, but I mean, I'm pushing through. I'm optimistic. I'm not giving up. And my people laugh at me when my girlfriends and I go out and I tell them I'm, you know, vent about this, and they think it's funny that my answer is to fast more. You know, like you'd think in with past diets, past lifestyles, I would have stopped or given up, tried something else. But instead, you know, I love that intermittent fasting, you can kind of manipulate it and control. You know, you have so much control over so many different protocols. So I tried ADF. I tried 3612 ADF. I tried so many different versions of that. I'm in Jen's community also. So they recommended a lot of things. I think I did about six different protocols in the last 3 or 4 months.
Yeah. The trouble with ADF is this. A, you have to be ready for it. And B, you have to want to do it. And for me personally, I don't want to do it, right? Not because I don't think anything untoward about it, or I don't think it works, or there's no benefits to it. I'm simply a guy that has to eat once a day. It's a social thing for me. It's something I do with my wife and my family. It's something I look forward to each and every day. So if I was to do ADF, my biggest issue would be the up day and trying to control that intake. And then, like you said, you've got so much more time then to sort of bring back in old habits if they're still there. So I think if you're a person that has those sort of habits, you have a sugar addiction or you have a food addiction or anything like that, then ADF can be tricky because you have so much longer. And I think a lot of people have trouble with the up days, April. It's not so much the actual fasting, it's when it comes to the refeeding. And as we know, you have to have at least two meals on that refeed day to keep up the metabolism. But sometimes when you have a couple of meals like that and you feel like it isn't enough, or if you've been fasting for quite a long period of time, you get so hungry that window opens and you just continue to eat. And so, do you think that was one of your issues? And also, overcomplication of intermittent fasting lifestyle can be tricky too.
Yes, I could not agree with you more. First of all, I enjoy eating once a day for all of the reasons. As you said, eating with my family, eating just to have that sacred alone time in the early, I'm an early afternoon eater. I liked, because I came from being diabetic, which I'm no longer diabetic, thank goodness, thanks to fasting, because I came from that. The earlier I eat in the day and the longer my fast is before I sleep, the better I feel. So I enjoy that sacred OMAD. It felt good. It felt like my time, and I could control it more. Whereas you're absolutely right. I could fast. I could do a 5-day fast right now without blinking, without batting a lash. I love fasting. It's the up day that where I lose the battle. And like you said, it causes me to spiral out of control if I'm not very careful. So some people, Jen always recommended to me 12 hours. And so many people that do the up day do 6 to 12 hours. But she says, you know, she really recommends that 12 hours because you don't have to eat as much. You can just kind of space it out. So I tried that, but I definitely prefer the one meal a day protocol.
Yeah.
It gives
What
me
about
more.
the food choices on the up day, April? Did they start getting a bit wonky given your history?
Yes, it's funny because on OMAD, I want Brussels sprouts, I want artichokes, I want tofu, I want these healthy things. And even if I want a cookie, I want a homemade baked cookie, I want maybe half of one or one and I'm fine. But when I was doing that up day, I was starting to crave. It was almost as if I quit fasting. I kept waking up thinking, okay, I've fasted 36 hours and yet I feel like I've failed because I have all these cravings for crazy things that I don't eat usually anymore that I haven't eaten in years, or well, 19 months since I've been fasting. It was bizarre to me because I couldn't believe that fasting 36 hours instead of 23 hours caused this, but it was that long up day. So I had to be, I gained, that's how I gained. So I, like I said, I've gained, I went from 222 to now today I'm 242. So I've gained 20 pounds since December 31st, just doing various versions ADF, trying to get back in the swing of things. And I think it's primarily because I lost control of what I was eating.
Yeah, because you had more time to think about it and there was more choices and that sort of thing and longer periods of time. And probably reintroduced a few foods you thought were going to be okay. And complacency plays a big part too, of course. But, you know, I think anybody that's interested in ADF, we've had some great people on this podcast talking about it. We've had Marianne Lees, Fifi DeFufi, Karen Griffin, Rachel Award back in episode 6. So if you're interested, go back and they go through the right reasons and the wrong reasons. But with the ADF, were you doing the mini meal thing, or were you just fasting right through that 36 hours?
Yeah, I just went straight through because the long fast felt really good to me. So I would just go straight through. I did try one day the modified ADF with the mini meal, but I didn't really see the point in it. And I didn't even have a meal. I think I had like some coffee or something with cream in it. So yeah, I just prefer the long fast without the mini meal.
Yeah, and it's important to note too that when you're having that mini meal, of course, you're immediately breaking your fast. So if you're doing a 42-hour fast and you have a mini meal and halfway in between it, you're not actually doing a 42 fast because you're breaking that fast at the sort of 20-hour right. mark. So you got to. It's more like doing two rolling 20-hour fasts back-to-back with a 500 yes. calorie. And for me, that wouldn't be enough because I'd feel like I'd eat 500 calories and I'd feel like I just wanted to continue on eating, and that would be my biggest issue with it. But now you're getting back into the OMAD, and you mentioned there that you like that restaurant style. And I mean, you come from plant-based, vegan, you've tried a lot of things, April. You're an experiment of one, and it really shines out in what you're talking about there. So obviously OMAD's your jam now, and do you feel like you're finally getting back on the rails now?
I don't know. Some days I want to cry because even though I know I'm only going to feel successful if I am strict and consistent, and I have never stopped being strict and consistent, so I feel successful. So I do feel that I'm kind of back on track. But the funny thing is, I can't pinpoint how I fell off track. I mean, I never stopped fasting. Does that make sense? And that's what is kind of frustrating.
I think when the first thing to do is look at our fast, right? We're clean fasting, everything's going well. And, you know, I talk about the 15 steps of self-examination in my book, where you look into all the reasons why things aren't going quite to plan, right? And I think mm-hmm. the next thing is looking into that eating window. What's going on there? You know, have I let things creep yeah. back in that was sort of affecting my weight before? But the big thing with you, April, is to also congratulate yourself and look about how far that you've actually come from that high weight to even where you are now. That's still a considerable amount of weight that you've lost in the time frame that you have. So that's something to be very proud of. And also the fact that you've recognized that you gained that 20 and that you want to do something about it, and you haven't let it go to 30, 40, 50, that sort of thing. You put the brakes on, and now you're sort of self-examining about how you can get back on track. And I think you need to give yourself a bit of grace there and see how far that you have come, because you are amazing, April. You really are. You've been a huge inspirer for a lot of people in our community, and we've followed your journey over the last 18 months. And what I love about you is you always call it as you see it. And I think that you really have done quite well in general.
Thank you so much. I honestly was telling one of my girlfriends today, I think she asked, how in the heck have you been doing this as long as you have, and you're still doing it? And I'm passionate about it. Like on the days where I'm fasting, I'm passionate. I mean, during the times I'm fasting, I'm passionate. When it's my eating window, I'm passionate. I've maintained my passion for it, and it's exciting for me. And it's because of this awesome community that we have, that, you know, we have a built-in cheer system and family. So I don't think we could do it without that, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, people always ask me, they always say to me, Graham, ask them what they eat in their window and that, because everybody's different, right? I mean, you've already explained a bit about what your sort of eating base was, plant-based, vegan, and that sort of thing. So where are you at now with what you're eating and your sort of, what do you crave and that sort of thing now compared to what maybe you did before?
Yes. Sometimes I feel like I wonder if I'm pregnant. I crave such weird things. It's spring here. So I love fresh green. I could live on kale, spinach, sauteed tomatoes, anything with butter and lemon and olive oil. My jam is probably sauteed kale with tomatoes, my favorite thing in the world. It's so good. Artichokes are my number one. They're up there. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Beyond. Do you guys have Beyond there? Beyond and Impossible? They're plant-based meats. Yeah. We have those. And I don't have too many of them, but I'll have those with some sauteed kale. That's probably my go-to meal.
Okay. What about alcohol? April, are you a person that drinks alcohol?
I've never been a smoker or a drinker. I just I'm a so I love Jesus and I love being sober.
Yeah.
I
And of
just
course, something that
I
a lot of
love it.
people might not know about you is that you're a very renowned photographer, of course, and you have a very successful business, and your specialty is weddings and that sort of thing. And obviously, that probably has been a huge help for you too with intermittent fasting, I guess, more energy, more clarity, and just being able to do your job better.
Oh my goodness, the NSVs are countless. I mean, even though I'm sad about weight gain, I feel like a rock star. I mean, it's spring. We have back-to-back weddings. I'm flying up and down stairs. I'm carrying heavy equipment. I'm like full, all of everyone at every wedding is like, "What is this girl drinking? Like, we want what she's having," because I have all the energy and all the charisma, the charisma because of the fasting. I mean, it just gives you so much energy. It's good for your mental clarity. People are constantly complimenting my dentist compliments my gums every time he sees me. People are constantly complimenting my skin and my hair. And I used to have bad psoriasis on my elbows and my knees, and that's completely gone. I mean, overall, I feel like a new woman completely. I can't even. I mean, I was, like you were talking about the juicer. What did he say? Sick. What was his slogan? Fat, sick, and nearly dead, or something.
Yeah,
That
fat,
I
sick,
feel
and
like that
nearly
was
dead.
my, yeah, I feel like that when I heard that, he was the reason we started trying juicing. And that's how I felt. I really just like I would put my feet on the ground and being as optimistic and radiant about life as I always have been, which is probably the problem why I gained so much weight, because I was so in love with life. I've never really stopped to not value and appreciate every single moment. So I didn't realize I was obese. But as of today, I still, my doctor wants me to hit 165 to be at a healthy weight. So I have a ways to go, and I'm very optimistic that I'll hopefully achieve that in the next couple of years.
I have no doubt whatsoever that you will, April. And the thing is that you've got that mindset that is, it takes the time it takes, right? I mean, there's no rush. This is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle change. So for me, whether it takes 2 years, 3 years, 4 years to get to where you want to be and then live a very successful intermittent fasting lifestyle going forward. And I think that's really important. The mindset for me, April, is about 90% of this. And how's the mindset been for you, the mental part of intermittent fasting?
Yeah, that's a good question. For, it's funny because I am, I'm a social butterfly. I'm always happy. I have a wonderful husband, a wonderful kiddo, my dogs, my chickens, my career. Everything is just amazing. I have great friends. So I rarely find time to like say, oh, this is something that's bad. I rarely see the bad. I always see the beauty in everything. So that can be a downside for someone who needs a health improvement, because I'm so happy. I don't see that. Hey, my doctor's sitting there telling me the other day, about a month ago or a couple months ago, you last I saw him a year ago and he said, "You're doing great. You've lost all this weight." And now when I saw him this year, he was very disappointed because he expected me to continue losing, and I had been on that long plateau. And he started trying to talk to me about Ozempic and all these other drugs. And my mindset is so committed and convinced. I know OMAD will, I know intermittent fasting will be my answer to my optimal health. I know it will be. And I tried to explain that to him, and he looked at me like, well, good luck. I know, my fingers crossed, but when I see you back here, I'm going to continue to encourage you to take these things, Noom or Ozempic or something, because you are not losing weight fast enough, and he's worried about my health. But I have the mindset that I am just committed and convinced, but I've had to change so many things. One of the naive things I thought in the beginning was that how y'all say, well, you can eat what you want, but you can't really eat what you want. I was really just eating whatever I wanted, and appetite correction took hold, and it improved my eating took naturally improved. Well, now I'm having, because I've been in this plateau for so long, I'm now having to start really cutting other things. So I'm now replacing things like my bread is now a low carb bread. My naan is like a low carb naan. My granola is a low carb granola. I'm just making Karen Cahill's been helping me a lot with, like, she had me out at Sprouts reading the back of my plant-based yogurts because we found out that my yogurts have a ton of sugar in them. So I'm trying to make little healthy improvements as I go. And I would have never believed, I would have never thought I was going to have to do that a year ago, but here I am.
Yeah. Big shout out to Karen Cahill, good mate of mine, fellow Kiwi. And she's amazing. And I'm really glad that she's been helping you out a bit, April, because you've certainly got a great mentor and friend in Karen, that's for sure. But, you know, and I think it's when we do find out what is in our food that sometimes is a shock to us. I mean, there you are, you're eating these yogurts, you're thinking that they're relatively healthy, right? But it's not until you dig down into the ingredients and you find out that they're chock-a-block of sugar. And that was the same as me. When I went through that process, April, of looking at food and wondering what was in my nutrition and that sort of thing. And I think that's super important for people to take the time and to look at those nutrition labels. But of course, in a perfect world, it'd be great if we didn't eat food that was in a packet, right? We wouldn't have to worry about that. We wouldn't have to worry about all the additives and that sort of thing. And, you know, if you're a sugar addict and that type of thing, that's why a lot of people move to carnivore, because they take the equation out, because they're just eating meat and so forth and seafood. They don't have to worry about looking at nutrition labels. But I think education around nutrition and what's in our food is super important, April.
I absolutely agree. Yeah, shout out to her for sure. So many great friends I've made in the community that have helped me out. But it's funny because now, and my girlfriend teased me the other day. She said, we were at dinner, me and her and her husband, and they started fasting, and I've been trying to get them to fast for like a year, and they finally joined me, so I'm super excited. But that was one thing they asked me too, is how I was just eating whatever I wanted and still losing weight. And I told them, I know you're starting out. I wish someone would have told me when I was starting out. Even if you feel like you can lose whatever you want, you will might still lose weight at first, but eventually it's probably going to catch up to you like it did to me. So you may as well try to. I thought that fasting was all I needed. And now, I know now that I have to be mindful of what I put in my mouth in addition to fasting. It's another tool.
Yeah, I think that's a cautionary tale, what you just talked about, that eating whatever you want message, and which has been misconstrued over the years. And I've talked to Jen about this several times. We just broke it down in the latest podcast I did with her in depth. We went right into it. And what Jen's talking about there, I eat whatever I want, but I eat whatever I want, but what I want is good, healthy, nutritious food, nutrient dense food. It's not food that's not going to serve me. It's not food that's going to be detrimental to my health goals. I eat what makes me feel my greatest, not what my mind wants. So I'm eating what I want, but I'm eating the right things in order to get to my health goals and maintain those health goals. And so for anyone out there that can get hold of the conversation I had with Jin and two podcasts on my channel here and on Jin's one, and we've got another one coming up with Jin shortly where we go into that eating whatever you want message. So please don't take that as a open license for a endless buffet that eating whatever you want message, because 90% of people can't do that, April, can they?
No, I mean, I did. I for the first 5 months, I ate whatever I wanted. I went to all of my favorite vegan restaurants. I was living it up, and I was just shedding weight. And then it caught up to me. I just stopped. I just plateaued for a long, long time.
Yeah, and plateaus can be hard on the mindset too, because you think, well, I'm doing everything right. I'm doing everything that I was doing when I was shedding that weight. And now all of a sudden it's come to a crashing halt. But it's important to know that when you lose a fair bit of weight, like you did, April, initially, our bodies have to take a rest. They can't continuously just keep going down in a straight line. Otherwise, there'll be nothing left of us, right? So I always say to people, it's like walking up a mountain and standing on a ridge and taking a rest and looking out at the view for a while. And then you continue climbing up that mountain. And it's the same with a plateau, trusting in the process, believing what you're doing, you know, tricking it up a bit, trying different things is like what you did, trying to trick the body into, you know, thinking we're doing something differently. But the important thing is the trust in the process, April, I think.
I absolutely agree. Like I said, my only regret in this entire thing is back at the beginning of January when I said to myself, oh, I'm not losing number, the number's not going down. I started all of the different protocols. I should have just kept doing my OMAD and just trusted the process because now I have yet to get back to the point. When you go, I don't know if anyone else can relate to this, but when you go from OMAD to ADF, and then you go back to OMAD, you almost go through, I went through a detox. It almost felt like I was starting over, even though I wasn't.
Yeah. Interesting, isn't it? That you've gone through one protocol, you go back to the other, and you felt like you were stripping it right back to the start again. So what's your fasting hours now, April, and 7 days a week, or do you do something different on the weekends with your work that you do?
Well, ironic as it is, I told everyone I would not do it, but I'm actually doing a challenge with my girlfriend. Our husbands and I, and we are trying to do ADF this month. So we're doing, I'm doing, today's an up day for me. So I'm trying to journal my food and be very mindful of what I'm eating, my meals. Today I had potatoes. So I think of you saying we can eat what we want, but we can't eat what we want. Whenever you think of being on a diet, you would never think of eating a potato, or something like that. But with OMAD, that's a healthy choice. You can have a potato. So that's kind of something that's a good example of, a healthy, nutritious food that you can have on fast while you're fasting that you definitely wouldn't have on a regular diet. So I'm doing this ADF challenge. It's not the month of April. I think it's 2 weeks. So we're doing it for 14 days and then just right back to my OMAD.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how you go and how the mindset goes around that too, April. But, I think it's the food types too that we have to establish about what is working for our body and what isn't. Our trigger foods, if you like. And how I found out about my trigger foods, April, was that I was weighing myself daily and I was able to correlate the numbers back to what I was eating the day before. So if the scale went up dramatically all of a sudden, then I'd think about, okay, well, what was I eating and drinking the day before? Okay, so that's pumping up my body. In my case, it was bread. I mean, I love bread with all my heart, but bread doesn't love me back, right? And it's things like pasta, rice. It just doesn't agree with my body. And Chinese food doesn't agree with my body. Even though I love all of them, they're just foods that don't love me back. So then I had to find those alternatives that were loving me back and able to get to my health goals where I wanted to be. Was that denying myself? Well, yes, it was, but I don't think that's diet brain or anything like that because it's common sense. If something's not working for you and it's getting in the way of where you, what you're trying to achieve, then it's common sense to deny or delay that certain food or alcohol or whatever it may be. So I think sometimes you just got to look into the mirror a bit too, don't you, April?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, like I said, I really thought it was going to be keeping it simple for me is the answer. Like you said, all of the different protocols can they kind of can muck it up and make it a little bit precarious and a little bit too meticulous. For me, when I do 23-1, when I enjoy that very tight eating window, my appetite correction is so strong that it becomes so easy to eat and only want the healthiest foods. And so that's when it feels easiest to me. And I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah. What about exercise for you, April? I know you do a lot of running upstairs and all that sort of thing during the course of your work, but do you do any standalone exercise?
Yes, I don't know if I would call it exercise. I love it so much. I'm a hiker. I hike and walk almost daily. Actually, another Karen shout out. She has me I got my Fitbit back on because of her. She was doing the 10K steps, and so now I've been doing the 10K steps. And but my go-to is swimming. We have a beautiful Olympic size pool at my gym, so I go to that a lot. And then I do walk daily or hike, walk and hike daily. I get to, when I can get out and kayak, we live on the lake. I love to do that, but it's not quite warm enough for that just yet.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. 10K steps a day. That's fantastic. That's a fair amount of exercise, April. So well done on that. But one of the
Hey.
things I found was useful was what I call a promenade. You might have heard me talk about it in the evening after you've had that meal, or in your case, late afternoon, and just going out for a stroll after you've had your main meal of the day and just capping that insulin spike and slowing things down a bit. And I found that quite useful. So anybody that's in a plateau might want to try that too, just to see how that goes, April.
I actually took your advice. I think you had talked about that on one of the Patreon chats, and I started doing it. So, and I noticed I tested my blood sugar, and it actually reduced more drastically, quicker when I walked after I ate. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. So, yeah, we'll do some more work on that in the Patreon community and see that how that's going. But thank you for being an inspiring member. And it's so great when we have our Patreon Zoom meetings, because I've got to meet so many people through it now face to face. And, you know, when I get on my travels to America, I can call in there in Texas and see you and other people, and it's going to be fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to that. So where to from here, April? You're just going to keep on chugging along and doing what you're doing and experimenting?
Yes, I am committed to really mindfully eating. So I'm trying to reduce sugars. There were several weeks where I cut them out altogether. I'll probably do some more of those challenges. Really, really trying to ask myself, how is this food going to serve me before I put something in my mouth? And I have to get to that 165 before I see my doctor again. I feel like he's going to come after me. I just want so badly to be healthy for my kiddo and my husband, and to be my best self.
You know, and it's important that you're doing this for you too, and to give yourself that grace. But you mentioned your beautiful husband there, and obviously support networks are super important. And how have they been for you, April, aside from your husband and obviously who's behind you, but support networks for you important?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I've made so many friends. I often reach out to people if I relate to their podcast, and I've made a lot of friends that way, listening to your podcast and then reaching out to them and becoming friends. I have a ton of friends from your page, where we talk regularly on a daily basis. There are several that we talk to. My good friend Stephanie, she and I talk almost every day. We FaceTime and Marco Polo every day, and we keep each other on track. And there are several others in the community that have become such an just important integrated part of my daily life, and keeping me on track, helping keep them on track is so rewarding.
Yeah, I think so. Support networks, staying plugged into community is super important. And I know when I work with people that have sort of gone off track or whatever, however you like to call it, a lot of the reason is that they disconnect from communities after the weight's gone. They feel like they don't need it anymore. But then next thing, complacency creeps back in, old ways come back, and then they panic and they can't work out what's going on. And then they disconnect from the communities. They don't have that support, April. So I think that's super important. And a big shout out to all those people that are supporting you, because I think that's great. So April, you know, if those people that you're talking to every day, and obviously people you meet in your daily lives during your wedding photography stints and that sort of thing, if they were asking you about intermittent fasting, how would you tell them to get started, and what sort of words of advice would you give them?
I'm constantly trying to encourage friends that are venting to me that they need to be healthier to do this. And I had a friend the other day, nothing against Ozempic and things like that. Whatever works for people, I'm convinced they should do. But I feel like it's free. It's less work. It takes the work out of, I mean, I don't have to shop all day. I buy less food. I don't have to spend time cooking three times a day. I get so much more done. I'm more productive in my career. I can clean out my garage in less time. Everything I do is easier because I'm not eating all day. I'm not eating three, four, five, six times a day. I just feel that people should give it a try and try the clean, fast version. So many people are so afraid or think that it requires so much willpower, but if they only gave it 2 weeks, I think that they would see how the clean fast actually makes fasting easier.
Yeah, it does. And I think that's great advice too. And just start slow, take your time, you know, and don't expect results to happen overnight, because they will in time. But I always say to people, if you're going to take up intermittent fasting, give it a commitment of 6 to 12 months, April, you know, and make that commitment. And don't just think, well, this is going to happen for me in a month, because sometimes it doesn't, because we have to get fat adapted. We have to work through things. And talking about things like fat adaption and appetite correction. Appetite correction, was that something that came for you, and sort of when did that come for you?
I started noticing it around my second month really strongly, because I'm not exaggerating when I say the first 6 weeks I had been depriving myself for so long. I just started enjoying everything I ha couldn't have for so long. Whether that was vegan chicken strips or vegan pizza or vegan Chinese, I was having it all. And so I was enjoying that. But then once I had been Fasting, I don't know. I think it was around my second month. I really started to notice I didn't want, I would, we went to for pizza, and instead of the pizza, I would just get a salad. And I started to notice, I mean, I've always been a foodie, just like you. I'm quite a foodie. My mom's a chef. I grew up around a fresh garden and good food. And I became such a food snob. It's to the point now where I rarely like to go out to eat. It has to be a specialty thing, like Indian or Chinese or sushi, something I don't quite make as well here. But as far as day to day, I mean, to me, a good meal would be opening with a few olives. Today I opened with some avocado with sesame seeds and a balsamic vinegar. And I had a couple of my farm fresh eggs. I had a couple of small potatoes that I had baked that were, I had a small bowl of black organic homemade black beans that I made. So the quality has to be there. So go the appetite correction really hits hard in that regard. You know, all of a sudden a salad from a restaurant paled. I want, pepitas, and I want a variety of color, and you just don't get that out.
Yeah, that's true. And it's difficult sometimes, isn't it, when you're dining out? And I know in the early stages when I was losing the weight, I'd go to restaurants, I'd look at the menu, and if there was nothing worthy on it, I'd say to Lou, I can't eat here. We have to go somewhere else. And she used to get quite frustrated by that. But I think you're so laser focused on your health goals and where you want to be, you just don't want to accept second best. So I always say to people, if you're going to a restaurant, check out the menu online before you go there. So you've got a bit of time to sort of, analyze what's there and what you sort of think is going to be the lesser of all the evils on there, particularly if you're going out with friends and family and that sort of thing. And, you can't sort of just get up and say, no, I'm not eating here and storm out because that's not cool when you're invited to go somewhere. We have to learn. I mean, you go to a wedding, right? And I mean, you must go to so many weddings where you think the food's great or sometimes the food's not so great. So that can be difficult too, I guess, in your line of work if it's in your eating window at that time.
Graham, I think part of my weight gain over the last 10 years is because I'm at weddings every weekend, 3 or 4 days a week, eating delicious wedding food, wedding cake, wedding, all the things. And so I have a strict rule. Ever since I've been fasting, I don't eat at work. I eat early in the day, and then I don't eat for the rest of the day. So I turn away cake every wedding. I don't eat it anymore, because if it was my family member and I was a guest, that would be different. But when it's your job and you're at a wedding 3 days a week, you can't be eating cake every single day,
Yeah, that must be tough, and well done to you. And it's a massive mind shift for you as well, April. But I can't tell you how fantastic you are, April. As I said, and I really want to follow you up in 6 or 12 months' time because I know you're going to be amazing. I know that weight's going to be gone and some, and you're going to be well on your way to living a long-term, successful intermittent fasting lifestyle. But thank you for joining me here on the Fasting Highway.
Thank you so much. I absolutely love your community, and I can't believe you work a full-time job and still make time for the Patreon community and the Zoom meetings and the podcasts. I hope that I know everyone tells you, but I hope that you know that you've made a profound difference in each of our lives, and that we are reaching out and making a difference in people's lives because of the difference you've made in ours. So I truly cherish and appreciate you and Lou.
Oh, thank you so much, April. I work two full-time jobs, but who's counting? But anyway, okay, I better get off to one thinking of that. But thank you so much for joining me, April, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay,
Bye.
bye. Oh, thank you so much, April. Thoroughly enjoyed that conversation with you, and I find you such an inspiring person, and you really are the epitome of the experiment of one. And I really love the attitude that you have, and you're not afraid to try things and find something that's going to work for you. And I wish you every success in the future, and I can't wait to catch up with you in 6 to 12 months' time, where we'll see you where you are with your fasting journey. Anyway, folks, as you heard at the top of the show, this podcast is now brought to you by our Patreon members community. Look, we simply couldn't be bringing you this podcast each and every week without the support that we get from our Patreon members each month. In turn, we really support them as well. We do 2 Zoom accountability meetings each month, Northern and Southern Hemisphere. There's a Breaking Free from Sugar meeting each month by Zoom, hosted by myself for those that are looking to break free from sugar. There's lots of extra bonus podcasts, discussion topics, and so much more in the Patreon members community for you to listen to. Past content and current content each and every week. There's something there to motivate you on your intermittent fasting journey, all for a cup of coffee a month. So go and check that link out in the show notes here at www.patreon.com/thefastinghighway. If you are interested in my own story, you will find that in my book, The Fasting Highway, which is on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. It is available on audio. You'll find it on audiobooks.com, Kobo, Spotify, and many other audiobooks platforms. Okay, folks, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.